Welcome to Reconciled Church Miami, Pastor Aldo Leon.
I need to pray. I know David just prayed, but I need to pray one more time. So would you go before the Lord with me? Father, you are amazing and wonderful and glorious. And Father, I pray that these people here would just experience and taste some of your glory tonight, Lord. Father, I pray for Cutler Bay. I pray for Miami, God. I pray that Jesus would be worshipped in this place. Father, I can't do this. I can't do this without you, Lord. Father, I pray for your grace and your power just to be sufficient in our weakness, Lord God. I pray, God, that you would give us a confidence in your Son's work as we are here, Lord God. I pray, Father, that these walls would just, what goes on here, God, would penetrate. Father, may we not be a group of people who just gather as Christians and say, hallelujah, Jesus, but God, would this city, would this area come to know your Son, God? I pray, I plead. Father, please show us mercy and grace. God, your Son is worthy. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be believed. And God, we're here just to say, do what you will, God, but please, make your Son known in this place, God. Please. Father, we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen. In order for us to understand what we're doing here in Cutler Bay, what we desire, we need to answer a question. We need to answer a very important question. For us to know where we're going, we need to know what is Christianity. If we could answer that question, then I think we could have a very clear vision for where we're going this year. We can answer that question a lot of different ways. We can say, I know what Christianity is. Christianity is accepting a certain amount of beliefs which are true. There's some truth to that. We could say Christianity is a way for sinners going to hell to go to heaven, and there's truth in that. We could say that Christianity is accepting a bunch of standards found in the Bible, and there's truth in that. We could say that Christianity is a bunch of Christians accepting the mission of God to save sinners, and that's true. We could say that Christianity is making society better through serving and loving our communities, and that's true. We could say that Christianity is leaving our past behind and beginning fresh, and that's true. We could say Christianity is exchanging a past set of activities, embracing new ones. We could say a lot of things. But let me say, brothers and sisters, that what is missing from all of these things and is necessary is Christ himself. So the answer, what is Christianity? It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. So all of these things that we're talking about, all of these things that we desire that are part of Christianity, if Christ himself, his person, is not at the height of those things, at the center of those things, and we miss everything. And so what I want to show you guys here is that Christianity is three things. Christianity is having Jesus Christ himself, firstly. Christianity is experiencing and enjoying Christ himself, secondly. And Christianity is Christ enjoying and having us, thirdly. So really briefly, why are we here in Cutler Bay? Why are we in this place using another church's facilities? Why are we meeting in homes? It's because we desire for people to have Christ, enjoy Him, and for Christ to enjoy them. That's it. You say, and what else? And nothing else. Nothing else. And so our text, to kind of give us this vision of where we're going and what Christianity is, and therefore what Reconcile Church Miami is, will be in Colossians 1, 27 and 28 and 29. And I'll just read 27 and 28, and then I'll have Joel come up later and go through 29. So in verse 27, Paul says, God, wanting to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And so when I say, what are we doing here? What is our purpose? What is the big picture? And I say the first thing is that simply Christianity is having Christ. Why do I say that? Look at verse 27. It says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery. What is the mystery? Christ in you. What is Christ in you? The hope of glory. So Paul says, what's the hope of glory? What is the glory of Christianity? It is having Christ. It's not a studied Christ, though we do study him. It's not a Christ who we just do things for. It's not a Christ who's out there. But Paul says the glory of Christianity is experiencing and loving and delighting and knowing and walking with Christ. He's not a sermon. He's not a topic of discussion. He's not something you just say in a name after a prayer. He's not a section in a book. He's not a chapter in a systematic theology. He's not a moral counselor or just a good example. He is a delightful person to be known and enjoyed. Paul says Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not Christ around you, not Christ in front of you, not Christ giving you commands, but Christ in your very soul, brothers and sisters. And what, when we say that, okay, yes, Christianity is, Reconciled Church is about having Christ, experiencing and enjoying a delightful person who is in us. How do we get to enjoy him? So if Christianity is having Christ who is near, which is what I just discussed, it is not just having a Christ who is near, but it is having a Christ who is intimately near. You may say, how intimately near is Christ? Well, he is near to us like your brother and sisters are. So when you think about the nearness and enjoyment that you have being around your brothers and sisters, that's the way Christ is near to us. The scripture says he is our friend. So when you think about the joy and secrets that you share with your friends, think about that's how Christ is near. And you may say, wow, well, I like the friend thing. I like the brother thing. That seems intimate. But let's go beyond that. Christ is not only near to us as a brother, as a friend, but Christ is near to us as a husband is to his wife. There is no greater intimacy on this earth than what a man and woman share in union. And Christ says, I am near to you. You have me like that. And if we can even go further than that, because it says that Christ is our head. So when y'all look at your bodies and how intimately connected it is to your head, you think that is how Jesus is in me and connected to me. Or you can look around and you can see trees with branches. That's the connection you have with Jesus. Christianity is not just having Christ. Reconciled Church is not just about people having Christ, but it's about having a Christ who is intimately near us, like brother, like sister, like husband, like wife. And I would say something else about this verse. That Christianity is not just having a Christ who's intimately near, but about a Christ whose intimate nearness to us allows us to do everything we do. So that's a long point. Let me say that one more time. Christianity is about having a Christ whose intimate nearness to us allows us to do everything we do in the Christian life. Think about this. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Jesus is not someone who we just imitate and follow. You with me? He's not just someone who's around us and gives us advice. He's someone who, in intimate fellowship with him, in knowing him, in loving him, in abiding in him, that enables us to do everything that we do. So Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I say, yes. But you know what else? Paul's saying here, Christ in us is the hope of glory. He's saying that Jesus, may you imitate yourself through me by the power of your Spirit. I'm not imitating you. You are imitating yourself through me, Jesus. Do it. He's not just saying, live for me. But he's saying, I will live my life through you by the power of my Spirit. Yes, Jesus, do it. We're here to know you. We're here to delight in you. We're not here just to preach sermons and do stuff. We're here to be near to you like a child, like a wife to her husband. And God, it is nearness to you. It is intimacy with Christ, which helps us and motivates us to do everything. Everything, brothers and sisters. You with me? So, if Christianity is having Christ in us, then the logical conclusion, which Paul brings us to, that if that's true, then Christianity is secondly, reconciled church is secondly about enjoying Christ. In the same way, where'd my water go? In the same way that if you could talk about or go back to that time when you were thinking about that woman you wanted to marry, and you were thinking, like, where would life be? You know what life would, where would life be really good? If I were to be able to marry such and such. Oh, man, life would be good if I were to be able to have Rebecca. That's mine. So if that's the case, if I could say, oh, man, living would really be having her, then what would be the rest of my life? Sitting on the couch, paying bills, getting a nice job. No, if life is having her, then the logical advancement of that is life is then experiencing and enjoying her. You see why the beginning is so important? If Christianity is having Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then what do we do with that? We experience, we enjoy him. So if that's the case, if Christianity is not just having Christ, it's enjoying Christ. This means firstly that he himself is our topic. He's our topic. Notice that Paul says we proclaim him. That means that guys, here in this place, in this city, Jesus is our primary subject. He's not just someone who's an object with other things as subject, but this is all about him. You know, like pictures and mosaics, they have all these pieces. And all of the pieces contribute to the whole. And what we do sometimes is we take pieces off a mosaic and we say, here you go, enjoy. But we can't really see the big picture, guys, if we don't see the whole mosaic. We cannot see Christianity if everything is not a part of that big picture, which is Jesus himself. So, that means that we're not focused on prayer, guys. We're trying to understand how the glory of Jesus himself informs prayer. You with me? It's not about subjects on prayer. It's like, God, tell me about the glory of Jesus and how it informs prayer. It's not about marriage and parenting. Oh, Lord, Jesus is a subject. Show me how the beauty of Christ informs and speaks down into my marriage. It's not about giving and fellowship and evangelism. Lord, please show me how the beauty and glory of Jesus being the subject speaks into all of these things. We proclaim Him, Paul says. Guys, the Bible is this one big story about a wonderful prince who left heaven, left his father's home, and he came to this rugged earth to seek his bride and die for her. That's the story of the Bible. It's not a bunch of categories and things, and then Jesus is somewhere, but he's the subject. You know, right now, if we were able to listen to the conversation of heaven, you know what they'd be talking about? If we were able to put our ear to the throne room of heaven, what are you guys talking about? What's the subject of your conversation? They're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." That's what they're talking about in heaven. That's the subject. That's their focus. So shouldn't it be ours? What does that mean? Christianity is enjoying Christ. That means it's our topic. That means that we proclaim Him in this city and not doctrines. Wow, now the Reformed people here are like, this dude's about to go off the wall. Not doctrines? What do I mean by that? Guys, we're not here to preach lectures on justification by faith. We're here to talk about a Christ who justifies us. Does that make sense? We're not here to talk about the end times. We're talking about a Christ who's coming back for us. We're not talking about, okay, now let's talk about sanctification. No, let's talk about a Jesus who sanctifies us by his grace. You still with me? I don't want to talk about once saved, always saved as some topic and doctrine, but let's talk about a Jesus who by his love and tender affection holds us in his hands. A Christ who sanctifies, a Christ who justifies, a Christ who's coming back. It's all about him, guys. Not doctrines, not topics. It's almost like, if I could illustrate this, it's almost like when I got married to my wife, in order for me to get married to her, I gave her a ring. And that ring was important, and it was a part of the ceremony, it's a part of how I got married to her. But it's not the main thing. And the problem is, it's almost as silly as like my wife getting a ring for me and her spending all of her time, all of her conversations about, look, it's a metal, it costs this, it looks like this, and she's just talking about the ring all the time. And she's not talking about the one who gave her the ring. Does that make sense? So we talk about doctrines, and we talk about teachings, and we talk about God's sovereignty, and we don't talk about Jesus himself who justifies, who saves, who's sovereign. He's not there. And I say, let's have him there. Let's not just talk about doctrines here. Let's not talk about subjects. Let's talk about Jesus in all those things. You with me? What else does that mean, brothers? We proclaim him. That means he is our subject. He's our focus. That means that we're not here, brothers and sisters, to talk about morality and being nice. Right? We're not here so that not nice people can be nicer. Immoral people can be moral. We're not here for that. Paul says, I proclaim Jesus, not morality. I proclaim the loveliness of a person so that when your heart is captivated by his beauty and you long for him and you see him, you live for him. So we're not here saying, love Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus. We're saying, Jesus is lovely, love him. Does that make sense? We want you to love a person and live in light of a love for him. Paul says, I proclaim him, not being nice and moral apart from him. You guys still with me? You know, I heard an illustration recently. This guy said, look, if I want to inspire people to paint paintings, I don't talk about paintbrushes and paint tubes, right? I don't say paintbrushes, 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 paintbrushes. I talk about sunsets and oceans. That inspires people to paint. What inspires us to change and live our lives? It's not morality. It is Christ Himself. Amen? You know, in Colossians, Jose is going to be there really soon. There's this list in chapter 3 of all these things. In chapter 3, it says singing songs. It talks about, worship. It talks about putting off and putting on. It talks about being kind and being nice. It has all of these things about the Christian life. And you know how Paul begins that? How does Paul begin chapter 3? Worship Jesus, love Jesus, live for Jesus. How does he begin? Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Look at him. And as you look at him and as you see his beauty, then live in light of that. That's what we want to do here. We want to say, Jesus is awesome and beautiful. Look at him, long for him, and be transformed by seeing him as beautiful. Does that make sense? We proclaim him, Paul says. That means that we don't proclaim ourselves here. Paul says we don't get together and talk about how, wow, aren't we the Reformed church? Aren't we the sound church? We're not like the people over there who fall on the ground. We're not like the people over there who are seeker friendly. We're not like the people over there who are shallow. Paul says we proclaim the beauty of Christ. Forget about us. We're not here to be the better than them church. Right? We're not here to be the solid church, better than everyone else. We're here to proclaim and enjoy and celebrate the beauty of Christ. Paul says we proclaim him, not ourselves. When Paul says we proclaim him, not ourselves, he means that we're here, brothers and sisters, to talk about Jesus and not how people are failures. Brothers, the church is not a place. This church, Reconciled Church, is not in Cutler Bay so that we can make people feel bad about how they're not good enough every Sunday. Sermons cannot be, you're not holy enough, you're not good enough, you're not doing enough. That's not church. Church is a place where people who lack come to know how great and sufficient Jesus is. He says, I don't proclaim sins, I proclaim Christ, I proclaim him. He is bread to the hungry, water to the thirsty. He is light to those in dark. He is freedom to the captive. We proclaim him. We proclaim his forgiveness, his grace, his reconciliation in light of our sin. Not just sins, sins, sins. But we do talk about that. Does that make sense? A church is not a place where people can just be reminded about how much they stink for Jesus. We need to be a place where people can be reminded of how awesome Jesus is for us. And you know what Jesus said? If we were to be a church where we come here just to tell people all the time that they're not good enough, they're not holy enough, they're not submissive enough, you know what Jesus says about us? It would be better if we would be drowned in the ocean. He said, if you were to cause one of these little ones to stumble, to even believe if I'm a Christian or not, if you're always making people doubt if Christ is enough for them, that it would be better for us to be drowned in the bay over there than be planting a church. Paul says, I proclaim him. This means, secondly, guys, that he is our obsession. He is our topic. He is our obsession. What does that mean? That means that Jesus, brothers and sisters, in this place, in this city, Jesus is the primary actor. That means we talk more about his obedience for us, not our obedience for him. Amen? That's a Christian thing, guys. That means we talk more about His love for us than our love for Him. It's about Jesus. We proclaim Him. That means we talk more about His commitment to us and not our commitments to Him. Amen? That means we talk more about His dependence on God the Father as a man, not ours on Him. Amen? His delight in us, not ours in Him. His faithfulness, not our faithfulness. He is the subject. He is the focus. He is the topic. Paul says we proclaim Him. I'm amazing that if we were to look at an infant, and the infant is grabbing onto his mother's arms, and the mother's grabbing on the infant. They're both grabbing one another, but whose grab is more significant? The mother's. The mother's. So yes, we're grabbing for Christ, and yes, we're loving Christ, and yes, we're obeying Christ, but we want to talk. We want to focus on His love, His faithfulness, His obedience, His holding of us. That's what we need. That's what this city needs. That means that we're proclaiming Him in all situations. Paul doesn't say, I proclaim Jesus on Sunday mornings. He just says, I proclaim Him, period. So what does that mean? When we're singing songs, we're proclaiming Jesus. When we're gathering in small groups, what are we doing? We're proclaiming Jesus. When you come to one of your leaders and you need counsel, we're going to proclaim Christ to you. When an unbeliever comes in this city and he has all of these issues, all of these problems, he's enslaved to all of these things, we will what? Proclaim Him. He is sufficient. He is the topic. We proclaim Him and in all situations. And it's Him and nothing else. Paul doesn't say, I proclaim Jesus and Jesus plus. He says, I proclaim Him. Jesus and nothing else. This also means, guys, that He is our life. He's our life. What does that mean? We proclaim Him. That means that the cross is not just a doctrine about how we can be saved and have our sins forgiven. That means that the cross is this beautiful doctrine which gives us Christ. Oh God, I love forgiveness. I love the cross because you know what? When you erased my sins on Christ's body, I was able to have Him. Does that make sense? We talk a lot about grace. Why? Because the more we exalt grace, the more we can enjoy Him. The more we focus on the things that He did, His forgiveness, His grace, His righteousness, we can enjoy Him more. You know, in Philippians 3:7, you know, Paul, I'm going to read this verse. You don't have to go there. Paul says this in Philippians 3:7, but everything that was gained to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. So he's talking about all the things that I used to trust in, all of my good deeds. I used to trust in those things. I consider them lost because of Christ. And he says, more than that, I consider everything to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So what does Paul say? You know why I love forgiveness by grace? You know why I love it that I'm righteous in Christ? You know why I love it that it's not about what I do, but what Christ did? Because I get to know Christ. I don't just get to be excited about forgiveness. I don't get to just say, I'm forgiven, but I get to know and enjoy Jesus Christ. It's not about, guys, holiness and sanctification and purity. It's not about those things, but you know why I long for holiness? You know why I want you guys to pursue sanctification? Because you get Christ. Holiness is not about being holy and looking nice and being mature, but it is about experiencing and having Christ. That's why Paul says we proclaim Him. A good way to illustrate this is, consider this. Imagine if you were to say to your wife, I'm going to be more serving in this home. I'm going to help you out with the kids more. I'm going to clean the dishes more. I'm going to take you out on dates more because I like to sleep in my own bed and not sleep on the couch. Because when you're mad at me, it's really stressful. Do you appreciate that, ladies? Come on, talk to me. No, that's garbage. So why do we think God relates to us that way? Let me do all the things I hate because I need to do them. Let me be obedient and let me be faithful and let me be serving. Why? Because I have to. As opposed to, oh God, give me a longing for holiness and service to enjoy you. You. I want you, God. I want you. I don't want to be holy for holiness' sake. I want you. I want you, Jesus. He's our life. And brothers and sisters, that means another thing that's really important is that he is already ours. You know, he's already ours. Paul says, I proclaim him. And he's like, what are you talking about? Think about it. Christianity, brothers and sisters, is us enjoying and experiencing and having a Christ who is already here with us. Paul says, I proclaim him, not I proclaim bread tails to go find him somewhere. He says, I proclaim him. He's here. He's sitting here with us. Christ is here now. We are proclaiming Jesus, not a hike on a trail to go find him somewhere else. Christianity is not a pursuit of Jesus being somewhere else, guys. This church is a pursuit of a Christ who has already drawn near to us in the gospel. He's here. He's around us. He's already here. So we're not looking for Jesus in the Bible. We're not looking for Jesus in prayer. We have Jesus. He's been proclaimed to us. And therefore, because we have him, because the gospel has given us Christ, given us fellowship, given us him, then I pursue the God who's already there in Christ, in the word, in prayer, in fellowship. Paul says we proclaim him, not bread trails and trails to go look for some Jesus who's not there already. Christ has already drawn near to us. And so that brings me to my last point. So if Christianity, guys, if Reconciled Church is here, if we desire for people to have Christ, the glory of Christianity having him, and then if that's true, we want people to experience and enjoy Christ. Where does that take us? That takes us to our third point, where it says Christianity is Christ having us. Why do I say that? Verse 28 says, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And a lot of times when we come to these verses, you know what happens? We look at mature and we say, this is our proof text first to focus on maturity. And it's there, but we miss those two really important words. Present. This is a maturity which is presenting. We're presenting people to someone. And not only is it a maturity which is presenting, but it is in Christ. And as I was thinking about this, I was like, man, Christianity is having, enjoying, and then Christ enjoying us. Like, how do I illustrate this? How do I show this? And I came to a place way back in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Look, I want to give you guys a picture of what does it mean for Christ to have us? What does it mean to be presented mature in Christ? It says in verse 28. So the Lord God, this is the account of Adam being put to sleep by God, okay? And then God doing like a surgery on him to bring him Eve. So you guys kind of understand where we're at. I'll just read. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. You guys are like, why is he reading this verse? He's crazy.
Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man." This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they became one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked and felt no shame. You see that picture? Paul in Ephesians 5, he says, you know what this is about? What is this mystery about? It's about Christ and us. This is what Christianity is about. God gives us marriage. He gives us Adam and Eve as this beautiful picture of what it means for Christ to have us. And so if we can look at that and see, like Paul sees, this is about Christ and his church, then how do we understand this? And how does this teach us about what does it mean to be presented? Well, first, just like Adam, but not like Adam, God caused a deep sleep to come upon Christ, right? Thousands of years afterwards, the Son of God experienced darkness. On the cross of Golgotha, he was abandoned by his Father. And God caused a great sleep to come upon Christ. And he was abandoned. He experienced darkness and eternal judgment and eternal hell and eternal agony for our sins, for the things that we have committed against God. And then from that death that he died for us, that sleep that he experienced, he was buried, he was raised, and he went back to heaven. And then God, from Jesus being punished, being struck, being stabbed in the side, out comes from Jesus a bride. The gospel makes a beautiful woman who is made by what he did for her. Not just a physical woman, but a spiritual bride. And then what happens? God brings this woman that was created from Christ's death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, and he brings her to him. And he says, look what you see in yourself in her. Look at what having this woman and being, making her through your work. Look at it. Be delighted in my son. And then Christ says, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He begins to speak poetry and delight. And he says, this one will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. So Christ says, I died for you. I live for you. I went to heaven and I was resurrected for you so that I could make you a new creature so that now I can enjoy you. So I can experience your beauty that I see in myself in you. We're not just trying to make people mature, but we're trying to present people to Christ. Christ, look at what you've done. Look at your beauty. Look at what you did. Look at what you did to Alex. Look at what you did to Rebecca. Look at what you did to David. Look at what you did to Jorge. Look. Be delighted, Christ. That's what we're here for. Enjoy your grace in them. Enjoy them. Have fellowship with them. And so that's what we're about, guys. That's what we desire. We desire for Christ to enjoy his grace in us in the way Adam and Eve picture that. And I'm sorry if it doesn't paint it the right way, but I just think it's so wonderful that Christianity is just not this thing about just growing and maturing and being better, but it is about being prepared for a Lord, for a Savior. And that's what we desire. And so the question is, and this may be a little unorthodox for you guys, the question is, how are we going to accomplish that? Is it just enough to know that we have Christ and to know that we need to enjoy Christ and to know that he desires to have us through his grace? And I say no. There's something else. And that's why I want my brother Joel to come up here and tell us what that is.
That concludes our message, and we hope that you were inspired by it. If you'd like to hear more about the gospel or find out more about Reconciled Church Miami, please connect with us using one of the ways listed on our website, reconcilechurchmiami.org.